There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
The engineer had reported to the train dispatcher that he had either been hit by a rock or shot at. And the SEPTA engineer said that he had a broken windshield and he placed his train into emergency stop.
All right, that's the NTSB, one of the investigators, talking about what they're now looking into, the fact that some object slapped into the train before that Philadelphia derailment because of another train in the area also having a similar fate. They believe somehow these couple of trains were hit by some kind of a projectile, for lack of a better way to describe it. And you can see where it actually hit the Amtrak windshield. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Folks, everybody is still talking about Amtrak, of course, because of the fact that, one, so many people were killed in a very busy area in the Northeast Corridor where you have trains that are going from Washington to Philadelphia to New York all day long, and the fact that it brings up train safety and how, you know, the trains, why there weren't certain things that happened there, like the automatic braking system that was part of the infrastructure for so many of the areas leading up to that one swing and into that curve. And the people that were affected by it, the people who were injured, but the people who were killed and their families just completely shocked, utterly shocked when they got the phone call that they were killed in this horrible, horrible accident. So the question still becomes, what happened? What do we know? What have we found out since last week? And the answer is there's still so much we don't really know, other than the FBI and what you just heard there, the NTSB is taking seriously because they saw what happened to the SEPTA train and they saw the part of the glass that was hit by some sort of object. So now it becomes, was somebody targeting trains? That could be another thing that's being looked at in examining the train's windshield. Did that in some way cause the train to accelerate? Which I would say, I don't know that it would cause the acceleration other than maybe the engineer. Maybe it sent him into some sort of a panic and that's why he, you know, accelerated. So Amtrak has ordered the beef up of technology, which thank goodness, because thousands of commuters are that depend on Amtrak can get on this train starting Monday. They resume that whole service from Philly and New York. This is just a little less than 1 week after that derailment killed 8 people and injured about 200. And of course, the CEO releases a statement on Sunday saying the safety of the passengers and crew is the number one priority, and our infrastructure repairs have been made with the utmost care and emphasis on infrastructure integrity, including complete compliance with the Federal Railroad Administrative Directives. Yeah. Except for that they didn't have the key piece of equipment that they could have had that would have made a difference and slowed that train down. So train 188, which might have been hit by this projectile or a bullet before it derailed, I mean, that changes a little bit of what happened here because you can see the mark on the windshield and they're trying to figure that out. But still, the acceleration part of this, the loud boom that happened, obviously when it crashed, but sadly, if they had the piece of technology already installed, then this wouldn't have happened. And think of the people that jumped on the train right before that. Oh, man. There was a train that was about 20 minutes or so ahead of this train 188 that derailed. And there's passengers who are saying that something hit and cracked the side window. On there was a couple of passengers that said they could hear it. It sounded like a large slam banging sound, and it was the passengers who were there. It kind of alarmed them, so now they're looking at that train too as well. So now there some doubt about what had happened there. You know, they were saying that there was that nothing had happened, that nothing had been. The dispatcher said that the train, if you remember, that there was nothing from dispatch to say that the train had been hit. And then the SEPTA engineer said he didn't recall having any kind of a conversation with the engineer of train 188 about having something hit the train. So there's some confusion over that, needless to say. But the system, the bottom line is the automatic train control system, which now they're putting in that curved section of the track where the derailment occurred. Well, great after the fact, but it doesn't help the people that were hit as a result of that, because that system notifies an engineer if a train is speeding and it applies the brakes automatically if they don't respond. But it just wasn't there in time, obviously. Grim, you're our leadoff man. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine, Kate. This is going to be one of them things you're going to just have to wait until it all pans out.
Yeah, to see if somebody shot at the train, whatever happened. But they still didn't have that automatic system. That would have made the difference because they had it on other sections of the track.
Well, that's what when I first called in, that's what I said. You know, I knew this exists. It wasn't some sci-fi thing or anything. It's all...
Yeah.
It's mechanical. You know, I've seen designs. I looked at them. Of course, you're probably aware of that by now. If you've got my stuff.
Yeah.
But anyhow... You know, it's kind of like, remember the guys that were in the trunk commit murders in Atlanta? You know?
Yes.
What was going on? You know, I mean, it's got to pan out. That's what I'm saying. It took a long time.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a shame if we do have somebody that's, you know, indiscriminately firing at train.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. I mean, let's hope that's not happening. That's disastrous.
Well, that's speculation right now, even on my part.
Yeah, it is speculation. Yeah, but it could be. I mean, we don't know. You know, they're looking at what is the projectile. What is it? That's they're trying to figure that out.
Yeah. But it seems you seem to be, you know, still carrying that magnet in your back pocket, girl. I heard what happened in Waco.
I'm drawing all of it to the plush studios. Yeah, the Waco thing with the bikers in a burger and beer joint, unbelievable, called Twin Peaks, where these rival gangs, these bike gangs, were going to sit down supposedly and have this conversation. Well, they didn't have any converting. They had stabbing, shooting, and how many people dead? 8 people dead and hundreds of others injured, supposedly, but a lot of people injured. And people scared out of their minds when the police surrounded the place and all of that erupted was going on.
Well, the police knew ahead of time because I've seen some of it.
Yeah, they knew they were meeting. They knew they were meeting.
Yeah, yeah. But they got shot, too. So, you know, I mean.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, it is. It's crazy. So the two biker gangs are going to meet. The Twin Peaks restaurant says, yeah, that was okay with us for them to meet. They knew they had all kinds of problems. Grim, it makes no sense. And it was an incredibly chaotic afternoon on Sunday in Waco, Texas. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth slide into a recession or, at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary. Not a solicitation for legal services.
Bitte British, bitte nette British Schwager, sucht is a photo raga, and it's for raga for a little bloke who enjoys a pint and a burger on a joke who looks at when he's down the pub, walking down some popular prom, a raga for a decent bloke's misses and for his cheeky nippers, raga for an alright bloke who's always cheery, bright and chipper, raga for a cocky and stoller.
All right, we talk about this all the time on America Tonight. It's fuzzy math, or it just doesn't make sense when we talk about government spending and how we're spending our way into oblivion. Some of you get that, but why do our leaders keep doing the same thing? It's about getting reelected. At least that's the road that they seem to take, and wouldn't it make a difference if they went in a different direction, like we saw with the Prime Minister, David Cameron, and what he recently did in those elections in the UK that surprised a few people. But if you look a little deeper than that, it completely makes sense what's happening there. And Ivan Elin, of course, picked up on this, the senior fellow and director of the Center on Peace and Liberty, the Independent Institute. And he's just written something that came up in one of his pieces for the Huffington Post. And it's what Americans should learn from the British election. And I hope a lot of you read it and take heart to what he's saying, because it really pulls this all into perspective as to what's going on in the United States. Ivan, as always, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me on, Kate.
So I kind of brushed the surface with broad strokes, but what was it that David Cameron did so well that led to his conservatives winning an outright majority of seats in Parliament and really rocking the other side, really rocking what happened in these recent elections, not expecting that finish?
Well, no one really expected it, because the polls were, the Labor and conservatives were even, and in their system, even if Labor got less votes, they could form a coalition with the Scottish National Party, which did very well. But of course, the conservatives did much better than anybody thought, and they got an outright majority in the Parliament. They had to have a coalition before. And what really happened here is the British people should be applauded. Cameron came in and he did what I would say a moderate austerity program. And you say, well, it's only moderate. Well, we can't get that in the United States, really, except through sequestration, which we had a little bit of, but those budget cuts have been since attenuated. So he did this for several years, and not only did the British people resoundingly elect him, he's in a better position than he was when he first took office. So that's really astounding that austerity, in Greece and Spain and some of these other countries like Italy, in the southern part of Europe, austerity leads to riots and everything else. But in Britain, austerity led to re-election by a resounding margin. And I think Cameron has pledged to double down on this. And not only has his austerity, done the traditional types of cutting social programs and that sort of thing, but he's also cut defense. And I think that's really what needs to happen. I was probably the only person in Washington, D.C. that was in favor of sequestration, which was across the board cuts. Unfortunately, it didn't include the entitlements, but at least it was cutting something across the board. And I think that's really the only way you can get support in Washington for budget cuts. You just say, well, we have an $18 trillion debt. We have even more, unfunded things in the future worth trillions of dollars. We're in much worse fiscal shape than anybody realizes. In fact, we're near Greek levels and that sort of thing. The difference is we have the world's reserve currency. Mm-hmm. And, of course, if we keep acting responsibly in the future, China may have the reserve currency instead of us. And then, of course, we're in real big trouble. But I think we're in trouble anyway because we have a lot of people who are retiring and we have fewer workers. That's Social Security and Medicare and, the other big entitlement programs are just out of control. And the politicians, unfortunately, our system, there's just no incentive to pare it back because that's the way politicians get elected. And unfortunately, the American population, I think, allows that. They talk small government rhetorically, but when it gets down to how they vote, I'm afraid Americans are for far too big a government.
Yeah, I agree with you. Everybody talks about small government and states' rights and whatnot, or I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot, and especially we see that here with the listeners. But how are they voting? Are they really paying attention to it? And you point out the examples of other presidents, though, U.S. presidents, who have gone in that other direction. You go back to Warren Harding and Calvin Coolidge, and you mentioned Dwight Eisenhower, and, of course, Bill Clinton. And wouldn't it be a bold step for a politician to step out, give that example, and then explain, as you've explained, listen, you're not realizing this, but bubbling up on the surface, here's what we have going on, and if we don't do something now, we're in serious danger of a couple of things happening economically that, trust me, will rock your world.
Yeah, and I think it's not all pain. I mean, what you're doing is you're having short-term austerity for a longer-term and sustained economic growth. And I think that's why our growth has been so anemic after the recession was because Bush and Obama both turned on either the spending spigots or the money supply spigots. And that's sort of artificial prosperity. It's sort of when you eat a bunch of cotton candy, it's not really nutritious. It's just a sugar high. And I think that's kind of what we've been on a little bit here. Now, of course, it's slowing down. The recovery seems to be slowing down. It was never very strong. Now, what Warren Harding and Calvin Coolidge did, what Dwight Eisenhower did, and what Bill Clinton did was they cut the budget. And that led to, in every case, it led to a decade of prosperity. And I think you can do austerity and have prosperity. And I think Cameron has also proved it, and so have the Germans. The two best economies, I think, two of the best, at least in Europe, are Germany and Britain now because they did undertake those austerity programs. And the British one is probably going to even accelerate now that Cameron has got sort of a mandate from the British people to continue with it. His was moderate before. And, of course, the Germans have always been, after the 1920s and 30s, they've been very cognizant of inflation, so they've always been very frugal in their financial affairs.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned too about the Chinese, and you talk about it as well in your piece, and you say that you look at China and this threat and the fact that we're not really learning from what the Chinese have done since they've embraced capitalism and generally how they've cut back on defense or how they did it was way at the bottom of the list. Of course, what we kept seeing just a few years ago was, wow, they're this massive amount of an army that they're building up, and pretty soon they're going to be a bigger superpower than we are. I remember I kept seeing headlines like that, not too long ago. But you say that what's happened is really they've had this rapid economic growth, and they've been just slowly increasing their defense budget, right?
Yeah, for a long time they really didn't do too much on it. It was a fourth of their four economic priorities, and of course the top three were, you know, economic development. And yet they said the economy first. And I think the basis of power, of military power, cultural power, social power, you know, etc. in the world is based on economic power. And the Chinese realized that, of course, and they realized that they had to keep their defense spending in, under control until they got their economy, they grew their economy. Now that their economy is, you know, second only to the U.S. in the world, they are increasing their defense and have been for the last few years. But, you know, the U.S. still spends, much more than the Chinese do, and we have commitments all over the world. I would say we're sort of in the overextended empire, and I think national greatness conservatives ought to realize that perhaps we need to retract our defense perimeter and, you know, rejuvenate our economy and refresh our presence in the world with a healthy economy, because that's, as I say, is the basis of all national power. And I think we're really overextended. We have far too many commitments, and we have a huge defense budget, but it's not even big enough to fulfill all the commitments, because the commitments are way out of control, and the defense budget's also out of control. And I think, you know, we spend what the next 13 countries do combined on defense. So how can China be a threat to us in any way, simply because they're mainly a regional, they want more influence in their region. And so I think we need to put these things in perspective. We allow the defense bureaucracies and defense industries to tell us that these threats are bigger than they are.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Ivan Elin, check out his stuff, Good Stuff, Senior Fellow and Director of the Center on Peace and Liberty, the Independent Institute. And you can always look up a lot of what Ivan talks about on the Huffington Post. Ivan, thanks.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
You've heard them on Alex Jones. You've seen them on Ancient Aliens. Now come see them live at Contact in the Desert 2015 in Joshua Tree this May. Experience four full days of science-centered lectures, workshops, intensives, and fieldwork on ancient astronauts, extraterrestrial intelligence, human origins, crop circles, contact experiences, UFO sightings, and more. Meet Chariots of the Gods author Eric von Daniken, Ancient Aliens host Giorgio A. Tsokalos, New York Times bestselling author David Wilcock, Dead Doctors Don't Lie author Dr. Joel Wallach, astronauts Edgar Mitchell and Story Musgrave, Earth Files publisher Linda Moulton Howe, author Jim Mars, and many of the world's most respected researchers and scientists exploring answers to one of the greatest questions of all time. More speakers, more panels, more things to do. Join us at the Joshua Tree Retreat Center, which has a long history of sightings and contact experiences. For advanced tickets and conference schedule, go to contactinthedesert.com. That is contactinthedesert.com.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN. The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
It's been July with ExpandoVite.
Why do over 50% of North Americans suffer from some form of chronic ailment? Could it be due to a toxic overload? It's time to take back your life. Get the lead out as well as the cadmium, mercury, and calcium. ExpandoVite is a garlic cayenne supplement with five other herbs that acts like a natural Drano, cleaning out the stored toxins, restoring your energy and youthfulness that we've lost. If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, or fear, then ExtendoVite is for you. Available in either capsules or liquid, you too can see why ExtendoVite is the number one heart drop available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExpandoVite.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
In 1965, this was the sound. Come in, good time. One more time. One more time. One more time. Fantasy. And a drag. Papa's got a brand new bed. Come to mama. And take your fantasy.
Not shockingly, over the weekend, you, America, took some time to send me your thoughts on a plethora of things. 24/7, you can let it fly or let it rip or whatever you want to call it, simply by going to americatonight.net, clicking on contact. So without further ado, a lot of people did do that. Let's check the email.
You have mail, mistress.
This from Peter, who says, Kate, wow, it's been unbelievable the nonsense that is happening not too far from my home. You talked about it, I think, in your first hour, so I jammed on this as soon as I could. What happened in Waco with those biker gangs, the cops definitely knew that they were meeting, knew that there was a chance that something would happen. That's why they were on, I'll call, high alert. Because there was so much bad blood between these rival gangs. And you would not believe the hundreds of bikers that were in town. It was incredible. How often do you drive down the road and see a biker or a few bikers that are in formation and they seem friendly enough? These were not the friendly sort. Did you ever see anarchy? It was anarchy. Times 10 is what it was. very confusing. 18 people at least were injured with gunshot wounds and stab wounds. Supposedly they were going to discuss differences, some differences. I wonder what the differences were about, but the severity of the injuries, not completely known. That's all they're talking about in Waco. Well, thanks for the follow-up, I guess, to that. Yeah, there were bodies all over the parking lot at this Twin Peaks. It happened in the afternoon throughout the parking lot, so they were scattered, and there were all these adjoining businesses, other restaurants, and they were meeting to talk about whatever it was, to talk about their differences. They came armed. They found like 100 weapons and knives. I mean, and there were hundreds of gang members. Hundreds. So it wasn't just a handful that were there to discuss whatever was going on. And it's 9 people in all that were killed in the shootout. And they were all members of rival biker gangs that were there to have this meeting. What I thought was interesting is that the sergeant who was in charge kind of the scene said it was the most gruesome crime scene he ever saw in his 34 years. He said he couldn't believe that other people weren't hit. And you had cops from several cities that surrounded the restaurant to secure it up. So there was a lot of people there. And they were there when the shooting started. No officers were injured is what I was told again. I followed that up and no officers were injured. So dozens of gang members, are, of course, were stopped. Wow. Imagine sorting that out. I'm sure they're still questioning people. Can you imagine that? The interrogations that are going on there. Whew. Got another one about that. This one from Jack, who says, thank goodness that happened in Waco and nowhere else. I can't believe the things that are happening in and around Dallas, Texas. Katie, be safe. The biker dudes, I heard, were a pretty bad crowd and not sure what it was that they were discussing, but it must have been pretty intense for that many weapons to be there, for the fist fight that led to the brawl, that led to the deaths. It would have had to be some serious, I'm assuming, testosterone going on and some serious issues that just weren't settled. And once whoever it was stepped over the line, then all the dominoes fell into place. Well, yeah, I mean, we can make a million assumptions about this. We have no idea. Number one, what was it about? Drugs, women, problems, territory, who knows? I mean, I have no idea. And, you know, your mind can jump to lots of different things, but the management of Twin Peaks wanted them to go there. So what the cops are now saying is, because they keep getting questioned about this, is we don't have any say-so whether they could be there or not, and we didn't want them to be there, but they said they were allowed to come there. So there was a lot of fisticuffs flying, and then it escalated to chains. I mean, the whole gang thing, you know, that you think of, chains and clubs and knives, and then gunfire. So it was everything up until the guns came out. Wow. Craziness. I mean, really serious craziness. The FBI is there. I mean, anyone who's anyone in law enforcement is there, I guess, figuring out this conflict, and then now the who shot who and how that all, what specifically happened and what it was over. All right, let's switch gears. This one from Keith, who says, hello, Kate. I think it's so incredibly sad what has happened in Nepal, and I think it's going to be a long time before Kathmandu, Everest, and the rest of that part of the world is not shook up because of the back-to-back earthquakes, as they're barely not even on their feet, and it'll take a long time for that to happen. So many people are displaced. They go through yet another earthquake. I urge your listeners to do everything they can to help these victims, whether they donate $5 to the Red Cross or whatever it is, but just something to help them, because I don't think it's going to be an easy fix whatsoever. Well, I don't think any time you have that many people that are displaced, thousands of people displaced, all those people killed, all those buildings wrecked, I mean, where are they going back to live in? And then you have to get water, food, especially the water thing is always really big. Kids back to school, how many lives and businesses were destroyed? Oh, absolutely. Anytime that happens. Especially, you know, and especially in a place like Nepal. They did have, luckily, access to aid that was pretty close. Because remember, we talked to someone from UNICEF, and they said that they had some supplies there close by, and that they would get the supplies to them pretty fast. But the supplies to get to that many people, I mean, it's a no-brainer that it's chaos. No-brainer. From Brad, hey Sports Chicky, I didn't hear you say anything at all about that horse race over the weekend. I know you mentioned it heading into it, but what did you think of the outcome, and how about that game 7 in the NBA? Mark. All right, thanks for opening that door. So, yeah, American Pharoah wins the Preakness by 7 lengths. Check this out. This horse had the rail position, which in horse racing, not a great spot. And very few horses have won from that hole, especially the Preakness. Last time somebody won it from the rail was in the mid-90s, to give you an idea. But forget all that. So American Pharoah wins the race, and it, rain, thunder, lightning, all that breaks out right before the Preakness is going to be run. So that's what they have to run in. Now, Victor Espinoza, the jockey, and Bob Baffert have a shot at the Triple Crown again. Baffert hasn't won the Triple Crown as a trainer, and Espinoza hasn't won, of course, the Triple Crown as a jockey. Nobody's won the Triple Crown since 1978. This horse is a sprinter, though. So now this horse that sprints is on a mile and a half track, and that's not going to be easy. And it's a horse that will have to run 3 times in 5 weeks. So how much is left in the tank? All right, as for the Game 7, you're referring to the Rockets and the Clippers. The Clippers choked, and they lost Game 6. They had a 3-1 edge in the series. They lost 19 straight points. They gave 19 back. The Rockets deserve it because they beat them, and then they hosted them, and they schooled them. How's that? 113 to 100 was the final score. And they did what they had to do because they had the thing that is so elusive, momentum. Their star player, James Harden, had 31 points. He was hitting all kinds of open jumpers. The Clippers should be mortified because they could have closed the door, and they did not do it. So now the Rockets go on to meet the Golden State Warriors, and the Hawks in the East are meeting the Cavaliers, and that's it for the NBA. All right, let's slip in another one. This one from Michael. Hi, Kate Delaney. I heard you talking about tornadoes last week. I was in a terrible tornado in Oklahoma City a few years ago. Once you see that wall start to form, I want to tell all your listeners, get away. Don't think you're some kind of storm chaser and decide you're going to track down that twister, because it could be the last thing that you ever see. These twisters can be incredibly dangerous, and they jump around. You just don't know where they're going to jump. So every time I see that and I see people posting things, I worry, because I worry that they are getting closer and closer and have no idea, as do really any of us, have no idea what's going to happen to the funnel cloud. Just a word of warning, don't do it. Yeah, I mean, you know what? It's interesting, maybe because of Instagram and video and YouTube, that you see this. I mean, it's off in the distance, but if you're getting closer and closer to it, I agree. You don't want to get swept up in that and go after something that you have no idea, especially you see those big walls forming. Woo! And then you see the damage, because, you know, if you're trying to fight off the tornado, forget it. You're going to lose if you're driving toward it. That is a disaster in the making. I agree. Coming up next, what's shaking on the campaign trail?
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, you know they'll never stop coming after you. With bank levies, wage garnishments, they'll even seize your home or business. The good news? A government program for tax debt forgiveness. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative.
I'm Paul Sibley. With U.S. Tax Shield, we can help navigate the new laws, get you protected, and resolve your tax issues permanently.
Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield now for your free consultation and get a guaranteed quote to resolve your case. Call 800-436-6451. That's 800-436-6451.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Distinctions, I say well done. And as I like to tell the C students, you too can be president.
Sweet! The former president, George W. Bush, addressing Southern Methodist University students as he spoke to them and had a funny about the whole C thing, because remember, when he was running, it was all about that, oh, he was a C student, you got C's, and then you get the joke, right? I don't have to explain it. It's interesting because a lot of Bushes were in the news this week, if you will, especially his brother Jeb, who we know is going to run for president. He got caught in a sticky wicket, as Maggie Smith would say, from Downton Abbey, you know, that series, meaning that he was asked several times about this Iraq question, and he re-racked himself so much that it sounded like, wow, he had no idea that this was coming, and he has no response for it. So one second he's trying to ignore the question, another second he's saying, no, I wouldn't do the Iraq thing. The next minute he's changing, he's reversing on that, and he got caught up in a little bit of a mess over it instead of just hitting it head on. And I blame that on, look, there's a thing called prep, right? So you're sitting down with these campaign people or future campaign people, and you work out the scenarios. What questions are you going to get asked? What? How do you feel about foreign policy? What do you think about Iraq? We're going to be asked, you'll be asked about that. You'll be asked about the Middle East. You'll be asked about ISIS. And you'll be asked about abortion. You'll be asked about gay marriage. You'll be asked about the Supreme Court coming up with a ruling on XYZ. You think of every possible scenario, and there's people that get paid big bucks to do this, and I know they're there. So lots of people drop the ball on what happened, but you have to have an answer. You have to know, what is it you really think? What do you want to say? And maybe that's part of the problem. I don't know. I'm just interpreting that. But somebody who pounced on this immediately is the guy who used to be the right-hand man for President Obama, David Axelrod. And here's what he had to say about Jeb Bush not being prepared or being on the same page about should we invade Iraq, that question.
He certainly had a lot of time to think about what he wanted to say. He whiffed four times on a question he should have anticipated.
He whiffed four times, and that's exactly what happened. So that was a boo-boo, and he has to move on from that. And the problem will be, too, is he throws in, then they have the debates, and then this question's not going to go away. So the question is going to be, and it's what I'll call an evergreen question, because it's a legitimate question anyway for any of the candidates. You could ask about, all right, look what happened with our troops. Now we're helping the ISIS situation, and that's why we're training the Iraqi forces, and we're part of the coalition. So, whatever. Did we make the right decision in invading Iraq? All that, of course, can come up, and now especially it will because of that answer. So it's interesting, it's kind of the tale of what's bubbling up this time around for people who are not even 100% in the race yet, and Jeb Bush is one of those people. He's going to be in the race, or he's going to be there. He keeps popping up in the polls, but he hasn't officially declared at this point. Hasn't done that. So while you have the Republican field getting more and more crowded, still for the Democrats, it's relatively light. And I've said this before, if you're a Democrat, there has to be a power play as to why you would jump into the race, because it's Hillary Clinton's. You know that. The Democrats are giving this to Hillary Clinton. If you're in it, you're in it for some other reason. For some other reason, you're in this. Is it because you want the VP slot? You want a cabinet position, which that often happens. So you're hoping you're going to be in a cabinet spot, or you have certain issues you want to get out there and push them out there, like Bernie Sanders, the independent senator who's running. He has a slew of ideas that now will be talked about more versus just being talked about in the Capitol, getting a little media blips here and there. Now it becomes bigger, becomes meatier, bigger stories, and that's part of it. But anybody who puts their name forward is delusional on the Democratic side if they think they're going to get it over Hillary Clinton. I don't think so. Unless George Stephanopoulos doesn't rebound from saying that he poured money into the Clinton Foundation. Because he is a good ally for the Clintons to have at ABC. Think of the interviews, and ABC gets the big ratings. And he's involved in two of their biggest, biggest shows. So in the meantime, elsewhere on the campaign trail, or at least when it comes to what the issues are, Marco Rubio talking foreign policy and immigration reform. For him, this is going to be the main dish. Immigration, huge for Marco Rubio. And the same thing with foreign policy. Clearly, this is his agenda, what he's set up. And that makes sense, because you want to steer your campaign to what your issues are that you've cherry-picked, that you care about, that you're working on, or issues that you believe the American people, you and me, want to know where you stand, and you put your flag in the sand, and this is how I feel about this, and so I'm going to go out there and I'm going to spread the word. And that's what Rubio's doing. And Rubio has that advantage of being in the Senate right now. So how he's voting, some people would say that's a disadvantage, because you can look at the voting record, especially someone who's been there a long time, and say, well, wait a second, you're saying now that this is how you feel, but you voted for the war. You voted for XYZ. Rubio's still pretty new enough that shouldn't be damaging to him and get him caught in a situation that he's going to be caught in. I think what he's saying holds up, probably. Holds up pretty good. Lindsey Graham, by the way, is supposed to make what he's calling an important announcement for 2016. The longtime Republican senator is going to say whether or not he is throwing in his name in the ring to be considered for president. I'd say there is a very good chance, that he's going to do it. I mean, look, he's very critical of Obama's foreign policy. He's tight with John McCain, who can help him. And, you know, he was in Des Moines for a reason, with his jokes in his back pocket and talking about national security, because he's testing the waters. I mean, I'd say there's pretty good chance he's going to say on Monday, I'm in, as if there's not enough people already in this crowded Republican field. But sure, he's in. And then he defended George W. Bush. He said that Bush acted on, because of the Iraq question, he said Bush acted on intelligence at the time that said Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction, and he did the world a favor by toppling Saddam Hussein. So Graham jumps in. He joins Cruz, Rand Paul, Marco Rubio, Governor, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, Carly Fiorina, retired Dr. Ben Carson, all officially in. You know he's going to be in. It's too tempting. Thanks for listening to America Tonight.
For 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know.
GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.